Let's just pray together. Father, again, I thank you for you being a God who is worthy of our praise. 10,000 reasons doesn't even scratch the surface. You are creator, sustainer. You are the God of all comfort. You are a powerful God. You are an all-knowing God. May we bless your name. Thank you for Jesus, who is the cornerstone. And as we build a life, and as we lay the foundation, and as we lay brick by brick, may we lay all that we do, all of our life, on you as our foundation, on your son Jesus as the cornerstone of our life. Because God, if you are for us, who can be against us? So, Father, I ask you, as we gather together for this time, that you would open up our eyes. Lord, help us to see what you have for us today. May this not be a thing we check off our box of a list that we do to say, okay, well, I've done church today. But instead, may we be open to your spirit, to your activity in our lives in every aspect of what we do. And Father, may we close this prayer time by singing that chorus again. Bless the Lord, O my soul.
Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my soul, worship his holy name. Sing like never before. O my soul, I'll worship your holy name.
Amen. Please be seated. We want to welcome our guests today. If you're a guest of ours and didn't get a chance to stop by our Welcome Center, I do want to point out to you that there is this thing called a connection card on the far right hand of the bulletin. It's a place for you to put name and address and any contact information, any questions that you might have about the ministry. We would love to be able to answer those for you and to contact you and to thank you for being a part of our service today. So kids, it's time for you to head on back to junior worship if you're headed back there. Again, many, many thanks for all of the folks who teach back there and who watch the children. They can go back. They're welcome to stay with you. We don't mind crying babies. That's not a problem. So whatever you're comfortable with, whatever they'd like to do, or really, if they're your kids, whatever you tell them to do, I suppose, is the way it ought to be. We're happy for that to happen. We're going to receive our offering here in just a second. And as we do that, what I'd like us to do is kind of turn your attention to the screen, which maybe the computer crashed. I'm not sure. What's that? It crashed? Okay. Well, it's probably going to come back up here in a second, but in case it does. Oh, here we go. All right. Great. What let's think about is David's going to play for us in just a second as we receive the offering. And we don't ever expect guests to place money in an offering plate. That's, you know, you're our guests. You know, if you invite guests to your house for dinner and, you know, you serve them a meal, you don't pass a plate. Or if you do, that's probably why you don't have very many guests at your house very often. But you're our guest, so we're thankful. But maybe you could think about this thought. This is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Very interesting that I've been reading 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in my devotional time, blogging a little bit about it. Thought of this passage, went to this conference this week, which again, I thank you for the opportunity to be able to go to that conference. The gospel is alive and well in the Church of the Brethren, and it was a wonderful time of thinking about church planting, meeting people, talking about, and there was a lady there that spoke, and she spoke on this passage, and I thought, okay, God, you're doing something here with this particular passage of Scripture. And so maybe we can just read this together and then think about this as in terms of offering. So if you'll just join me as we read this together. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. When you think about the word offering, really what we're doing is, when we offer our lives, whether it be our time or talent or treasure, we're offering many times for things that we can't see yet. We're offering for many, many times for things that are yet to happen. And so can you see your life as an offering? Not to make up for something you've already done or not to please God because you've done something, but as a way for him to use you in something that he has even yet to unfold. And one of the wonderful things about being a follower of Jesus is that we get to live our life as an offering for something that can have an impact forever. So think about that as David plays and sings and as we receive our offering this morning.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. I lay it all down again to hear you say that I'm your friend. You are my desire. No one else will do. Nothing else can take your place or feel the warmth of your embrace. So help me find a way, bring me back to you.
Thank you, David, very, very much. You want to turn the lights up, Alex? Thank you. I know everybody loves to fill in the blanks, so I know you need to be able to see to be able to do that. We are starting something new today, a three-week series on this idea of vision. And this sermon is a little different than normal, but I want to talk about the idea of vision, because we are entering a period of time where, as the very first slide will say, that we are beginning a process to help us to see our vision. You might be part of a company or an organization that has a vision statement. You might even have a vision statement for your family. You might have a vision statement for you individually, and sort of vision statement kind of helps you to see what it is that's important to you and what it is that you want to accomplish in the world in which you live. And we are beginning this process to kind of refine ours, maybe redefine the one that we have here at Buffalo Valley. We have a vision statement. It's on the back wall. Together we will passionately pursue and demonstrate the transforming life of Christ. But one of the things that happens with vision or sight is that it changes over time, right? Vision is something that changes over time. Some of you have had to go back to the optometrist and get a new what? Prescription, because your eyesight has changed over time. It has gotten worse. It almost never gets better, but it's gotten worse, and so you need to go back and you need to get one of these things. You need to get the new lenses or whatever it is that you get, because things have gotten worse. It changes over time. But even beyond the idea of physical vision, you probably have said something, maybe you hadn't thought about it, but you said something that reflects that the way that you see life has changed over time. Have you ever said, I see things differently than I did 20 years ago? Have you ever said that? Or I see it differently than I did before. And you're not talking about your actual physical vision, right? When you say things look different to me now than they did 30 years ago, you're not talking about the fact that you need a prescription for your glasses. You're talking about kind of how you view life. You're talking about something much bigger or broader than actual physical sight. You're looking at maybe your goals, your aspirations, wisdom. Things have changed in your life over time, and your vision is different than what it used to be. And so some of us in leadership here, we're thinking about, there have been a lot of changes for Buffalo Valley Church of the Brethren in the last several several years. So just in the last 4 years, we've opened up a new building, opened up a large part of this new facility here, and I think it was March or May of 2012 before I got here. I think it was May of 2012. We have added two new staff members, two guys named Eric, and so that's new. That's happened within the last 4 years. I went through our new church directory, which was published in February or March, and there are over 220 new people in there that weren't in there 4 years ago, and some of you that have been relatively new, you're still not even in there yet. So there's a large number of new people that are at Buffalo Valley that weren't here 4 years ago. We started a new relationship with Westernport Church of the Brethren, where we have an annual trip down there every summer and two other trips during the day. We started this annual trip to the Dominican Republic every year. So there's a lot of new things that have happened and a lot of new people. And so the thinking is, do we need a new vision? Is there something new about what's happening here that we need to sort of readjust or rethink or add to what it is that we see, quote unquote, as our purpose for Buffalo Valley Church of the Brethren? And this is not meant to be some sort of academic exercise, right? The idea is not going to be, well, we're looking just to get something new we can plaster on the wall, or something we can put on a poster, or something we can give out to you on a business card. No, that's not the idea. The idea is to see, what does God really want us to see here, and how it is that we can react to that and be in line with what God wants us to do. So what we're going to do today is kind of look at physical sight and spiritual sight and see how they kind of go together, right? So vision in your physical body, in your spiritual body, is very important. We take eyesight very importantly. We you know, what's that expression? You know, it's all fun and games until somebody what? Loses an eye, okay? You know, it's this idea of, you know, we don't want somebody to get hurt, and so vision is very, very important. I talked about this a few weeks ago that I read somewhere where over 70% of the receptors in your body have to do with sight, and that your vision uses more capacity in your brain than any other organ or any other part of your body. So vision is extremely important to us physically, but it's also extremely important to us spiritually and as we think of it as it works out in an organization or in a family. So first thing I want to talk about as it relates to that is something that you all know, and the key ingredient to enable vision is what? Light, right? Your eyes are passive organs. They do not beep out or send out information. Your eye simply receives light that comes into it. Then, though this is not a physics lesson, but then the light comes in, it goes, fits focused onto your retina, and then these things called rods and cones interpret that information, that light energy that comes into your eye, and they send messages to the ganglions in the back of your eye, and then the ganglions send these, convert the light energy into nerve energy, which goes, nerve impulses, which goes to your brain, and you see, voila. That's how it all works. But your eyes won't function without what? Light. Doesn't work. I remember as a kid going to Woodward Cave on a field trip here from Mifflinburg, and the first service said, kids don't go to Woodward Cave anymore on field trips. But they took us down to this recess of the cave where it was really, really dark, and we had to go down and through there, and they had lights there, and they said, hey, when we turn out these lights, because of the structure of the cave, there will be no light in this room anymore. Now, normally, when you turn out the lights and you say, oh, it's dark, it's not really totally dark, is it? I mean, we could turn out all the lights in here, but you'd still have what? Light, right? You'd still be able to see. And so I remember they did a countdown. We were all like in third, fourth, fifth grade, something like that. And it was like, you know, they wanted to scare us or anything like that. But it was like 3, 2, 1. They flipped off the lights. And I remember putting my hand like right up here to my face where I could feel the breath on my hand. I couldn't see it. I mean, I couldn't have been more than a half an inch away from my eyes. I couldn't see it. There was total darkness. And they turned the lights back on and put us back in the bus, except I think they left a few of the disobedient kids in the cave. Not really sure, but the bus wasn't as full on the way back. But anyway, the key ingredient to vision is what? Light. Without light, there is no vision. Your eyes cannot function without light. They can only take in the light that they receive. Well, there's a spiritual component to that. In fact, I really think that the physical world is greatly related to the spiritual world, right? Which makes sense. If God is creator, then God is going to, and the Bible says that he is evident in creation. There are a lot of things in the physical world that have, you know, parallels in the spiritual world. So Jesus is referred to in the Bible as what? The light. He's often referred to in the scripture as the light of the world. And just here's one example in John chapter 8, verse 12. Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And later on, that John writes about Jesus being the light, and the men hated the light and loved the darkness. And so there's this imagery in the scripture of Jesus being the light, of Jesus being able to help us to see. And it's kind of interesting if you think about this particular passage. If you know, in John chapter 8, right before this verse, the religious leaders brought a woman caught in the act of adultery to him. Now, it's interesting because they didn't bring the man caught in the act of adultery, but they brought the woman there, and they were trying to trick him. They were trying to get him to say something that would go against the law of Moses and go against what they should be doing with this woman, which was, according to the law, they should have stoned her to death. And so they brought her to Jesus, and Jesus, you know, stoops down and writes something on the ground. We don't know what he wrote, but I wish I did, but we don't know what he wrote. And as he's writing that, and he says, hey, whoever is without sin, cast the first stone. One by one, the crowd just sort of leaves. And then it's just him standing there with this woman and him. And he says, there's nobody left to condemn you. He says, I don't condemn you either. Go away and sin no more. And I started thinking about that because I was just looking for some verses that have to do with light when I was preparing this message. And then I thought, you know, one of the things that Jesus did is he came to help people see better, right? He came to help the religious leaders of the day see things in a different way. And he wasn't a light, as in, you know, he didn't walk around with a shining glow or aura or anything like that. But his role was to help these people, and especially the religious people, who thought they knew what they were seeing, who thought they knew what they were doing, but had kind of really put a veil of darkness over most of the folks who were interested in knowing about God. Jesus came to help them see, and he does the same thing today for us. In your notes, it says that Jesus is the light that enables us to see our vision here at Buffalo Valley. Right? If we want to understand what it is that God wants us to see, how it is that he wants us to function, it is only because that is going to be revealed to us by the person and work of Jesus Christ. He is central to providing the light that helps us to see. And some of you are kind of going, where is this going? Don't just hang on with me for a minute, okay? We're gonna get there. All right, we're gonna get there. Now, we can only see a small fraction of light waves that surround us. So if you know your vision theory, if you understand how the eye works, the light is all around us, right, in the world, right? From the sun and artificial, we have light everywhere. And light is, some people think light is a wave, some people think it's a particle, some people think it's kind of both, and I'm not really going to settle that debate. We're going to assume it's a wave, and light has wavelengths, all right, different wavelengths. And here on this is a little diagram. Over here on the left-hand side are things like gamma rays and X-rays and ultraviolet rays, and they're out there, but we can't see them. You say, well, sure, I've seen an X-ray. No, you've just seen a film of an X-ray, okay? You didn't really see the X-ray. There are things out there that we can't see with our eyes. And then there are other waves. There are radio waves and TV waves and AM waves and shortwave waves. You can't see those either with your eyes. You can't see them. The only light that we can see is in the visible spectrum, which is a very small spectrum of light that's actually out there bombarding our world and our senses. All right? But God has designed the eye to see this light. And why do we see color? Why do we see color? Well, we see color because, like, for example, I'm wearing a purple shirt, right, and a black tie. And the reason that this, which, by the way, my daughter said I looked actually very stylish today, so I was very happy to hear about that. So thank you, Angela. She's going to pick out my wardrobe from now on. Guys, you ever have one of those things where you bring your clothes to your wife and you say, hey, what do you think? And she goes, no, yeah. Yeah, that happened to me the other week. Where was I? Okay, so the reason that you see these pants as black and this shirt as purple is because this shirt has dye in it, all right, when it's manufactured, and chemically that dye absorbs light from the spectrum on this side, all right, and reflects light over here to your eye. So, for example, if you pick a cucumber, a cucumber is green because the skin of the cucumber absorbs light that is in a spectrum or has a wavelength of yellow or green, or not yellow, or yellow or red or something like that, and reflects light that then looks to you as if it's green. So that's why we see color. It has to do with the light that is absorbed from this spectrum and the light that is reflected to you. So in your notes, what we see is determined by the light that is reflected off the object that we look at. right? That's vision 101. That's how it works. That's why we see color. And there's more to it than that, perhaps, but that's essentially why we see color. So I want you to think about that now in terms of a spiritual connotation and kind of answer this next question. Would it be beneficial if everyone saw the same thing spiritually? I mean, color is this incredible part of our world because different colors are reflected and different colors are absorbed. Now, let's suppose that everybody saw the same thing spiritually. Would that be beneficial? And I think it would not be beneficial because no church, no individual or no church can do everything well, right? It's just not possible. There's no way that one particular group of people can do everything that God has planned or everything that is important to God. There's no way that one particular church can accomplish all of those things. We just can't do it. It doesn't mean that those things aren't good and something that we're not meant to accomplish or something that we're meant to focus on doesn't mean that's more important than something that another church is meant to focus on. Or if you think about your own family, maybe there's some things that you're focusing on in this season of life that are important to you, and maybe another time you'll see 20 years down the road another area of life that you need to focus on. We just can't do everything equally well. It's just not possible to do that. So as we think about this spiritually, God gives individuals and a church of individuals a vision for certain wavelengths of ministry. So God, for Buffalo Valley Church of the Brethren, God has certain things out there in the spiritual world that he wants us to see, right? Certain needs, certain opportunities that he wants us to see that may only be for us, or may only be for a group of churches in the Mifflinburg area, and he wants certain churches to see some things, and he wants other churches to see other things, because he knows that no church can do everything equally well. So when I'm asking you to consider what is the vision for Buffalo Valley, what I'm asking you to consider is, what is it that God would like us to see, right? What is it that God would like us to see? Now, there are five basic functions which every church sort of has a responsibility to carry out. And if you're familiar with the purpose-driven church, these five words come out of Warren's work on the purpose-driven church. And they are simply this: evangelism, discipleship, ministry, incorporation, and fellowship. So every church sort of has responsibilities to do some of these things. You know, evangelism, get out there and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. I mean, that's sort of a responsibility of every church. But some churches are going to do this better than other churches. Every church has really a responsibility to disciple people, right? Jesus said, go into all the world and make what? Pizza. No, he didn't say that. He said, go into all the world and make disciples, all right? Ministry, we all have a responsibility to help one another and to serve one another. Incorporation, the idea that the church recognizes that we can do more collectively than we can do individually, right? This 1 + 1 = 3. It doesn't equal 2 in terms of the idea of church ministry. And then fellowship, that every church has a responsibility to provide ways for folks who are part of that body of believers to spend time with each other, to grow in their relationships, not just around Bible study, but around food and around all kinds of other things. So we all have these kinds of responsibilities in a broad way, but the next slide says, what ministry priorities is God reflecting off this world that he wants Buffalo Valley to see and act on? So of all of those five things, what are the things or other things? What is it that God wants us to see? What color of ministry, if you would, is he reflecting? And this is so incredibly important that we get this right, because this is the greatest opportunity to do something that lasts forever. You know, one of the things that I think we need to understand, if we don't already understand it, is there are 1,000 things out there to compete for your time and attention and your money, right? I mean, 1,000 things that want those things from you. What are the things that you're involved in and engaged in that will last forever? Things with Christ, things with God are the things that last forever. And what we want to do individually and as a church is to see, God, what do you want us to do that's best? What can we do? What are you doing right now in 2016 with the people that you have brought here, with the facilities you have given to us, with the opportunities that are open to us and available to us? What is it that you want us to see so that we can most effectively join with you in what you're doing? Because when we join with you in what you're doing, God, then we know that we're going to be able to accomplish it most effectively. So the concept of vision is not this just sort of thing that we want to change a bulletin board. It is so much more important than that. A vision helps a church to narrow its focus for the things it is supposed to see. A vision helps a church narrow its focus for the things it is supposed to see. Let me give you an example. I've shared with you many times that I like to listen to Andy Stanley. Andy Stanley is Charles Stanley's son, if you know Charles Stanley from First Baptist of Atlanta and from In Touch Ministry. And when Andy Stanley was working there at First Baptist of Atlanta, working underneath his father, he and a group of people began to catch a vision. They began to want to plant a new church, but not a church like they had come out of, not a church like most of the churches in the Atlanta area. I mean, if you go to Atlanta, I mean, good night, there's a church more than every corner, all right? There's a church. There's four churches on every street. There's all kinds of churches. But they had a vision for something different. They wanted to plant a church or to have a church that would reach the people who were not already going to a church. So they came up with this vision statement, and they said that they wanted to be a church where unchurched people would love to attend. That was their vision statement. We want to be a church where unchurched people would love to attend. And so they launched out this new church, and it has now grown to be the first or second largest church in America on multi-campuses because they had a vision that they believe, and I think so too, was a vision that God had given to them. Now, has God given that vision to every single person who started a church? No. But he gave it to them, and it narrowed their focus as to what they were supposed to do. So as they designed their worship, as they designed their gatherings, they designed them in ways that would facilitate people who did not have church background to be able to come. And maybe you've been in places, you've been in churches where that's really hard because it's kind of almost assumed that you know the ritual, that you know the way it works. And they saw that as a barrier, and so they removed that barrier. God blessed it, and it's exploded into a ministry that impacts really probably over 100,000 people in this country and hundreds of thousands around the world. So what I want us to be thinking about this summer, and what we're going to take three weeks of sermons on this, to think about this idea of what does God want us to see? How do we narrow the focus so that we can most effectively accomplish what God wants? So I have just two more things about vision, and we're done. The first one is that vision is not totally exclusive. So for example, we do not have a food pantry at Buffalo Valley Church of the Brethren. We do not have a clothes closet here at Buffalo Valley Church of the Brethren. Does that mean that we don't care about people? Does that mean that we don't care that people may not have food or that people may not have clothing? In other words, can we say, you know what, we've gone through this process and we've decided that that's not really a part of the vision of Buffalo Valley Church of the Brethren. So when someone calls and they say, hey, we need some food, we can say, well, you know, I'm really sorry, but that's not the part of the vision of Buffalo Valley Church of the Brethren. So you'll need to find a church somewhere here in Mifflinburg whose vision is to feed you because we're into other stuff and we're not really into that. No. Or let's say we decide that, you know what? What God really has for us now is discipleship. You know, we really want to take a believer and help him or her grow and mature in their relationship with Christ. So somebody calls on the phone or somebody drops by and they say, or even somebody comes up to you and they say, hey, I don't even know who this Jesus person is. I've never read the Bible. I've never been involved in that. Can you help me? Ah, gee, I really wish we could, but we're a discipleship church. You know, so you need to go to some other church and hear the gospel and get saved, and then we'll take you in because we'll help teach you because we're a discipleship church. No, it doesn't work that way, does it? Right? Vision is not totally exclusive. We don't say, well, God has honed us in on these three or four aspects of ministry, and therefore those are the only aspects of ministry that we engage in. And even that's not true right now, like today. Like, we don't have a food pantry. But the lady Heather here who runs the Mifflinburg food pantry is a part of our congregation. We send money every year to the food pantry. Most Fridays in the food pantry, probably about some significant proportion of your volunteers on a Friday come from where? Here, Buffalo Valley Church of the Brethren. But we don't have a food pantry, and we probably never will unless we decide that that's what God would have for us. One of the things that we realized a couple of years ago, I mean, people would call and they would need heating oil. And we don't say, well, we're not a heating oil church, so we can't help you. But it's a difficult thing to do sometimes. It's frustrating because unfortunately in a fallen world, we don't really know if the people who are calling saying they need heating oil, I don't know if they really need heating oil or not. So we found out that there was a local church in the area that had a program, really had like a vision for this. This is one of the things they wanted to do. And so they had people who would go out and meet with you and talk with you about your needs and verify, in fact, that you had a heating oil problem or that you need heating oil and talk to you about that. And so what we said, I went to the mission team and I said, look, you know, when people call, if we want to do this, it's going to take 3, 4, 5, 6 hours of our time to go and figure this out. I don't really think that's the direction that we want to go. But here's this church over here that does that. So can we send them money? So we send a church in our area, I don't know, it's over $2,000. I'm not sure exactly what the total is, but we send them money every year. We write them a check. So I didn't know that churches wrote other churches checks. Well, we do. And we wrote the church a check, and we said, hey, you have a program in place. When we get phone calls, would it be okay if we referred them to you because you have a vision for this, you have it in place? And they said, of course. And we've been doing that for 2 or 3 years. So it's not exclusive, right? It's not like you can say, well, you know, our vision is not this, so therefore you're done. No, that's not the way it works. But it is so important that we understand what is God reflecting off this world that he wants you to see, and then he wants me to see, and then he wants this church to see. And then the second part of that is that God equips each church to carry out his vision, right? From Ephesians chapter 4, we read, and he himself, God himself, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying or building up of the body of Christ. So God has brought you here. If you are a part of the Buffalo Valley Church of the Brethren, God has brought you here because you are going to be part of or are part of his ongoing vision here. Now, if you're newer here, maybe God has brought you here for the very first time or for the first few times because he wants you to see that, yes, this is a part of God's vision for you, God's purpose for you, and maybe you even have something to offer to us that can help us to better see the vision that God has for us. See, we're not interested in input from people who have only been here for 10 years or 15 years or 20 years or 5 years. You may have been here for 45 minutes. And we'd like your input. We'd like you to tell us what you are seeing, because it might be important for us to hear that so that we can see what God wants. So do you kind of get where I'm going here? Now, over the next couple of weeks, two more weeks, we're going to be looking at Nehemiah from the Bible. It's like, gee, Pastor Eric, you haven't really used much scripture today. You're right, I really haven't. Because I want you to think in terms of this big picture of what and how important vision is. So we'll be looking at Nehemiah over the next couple of weeks and seeing how this vision thing worked in his life and the parallels for us today. But I want you to see this. You are needed to help see what Buffalo Valley's vision should be. You say, well, I've only been a Christian for a few months. Great. We need your eyesight. You know, like, you know what this is like in your own house, right? You walk into your own same entryway. You walk into your own house day after day after day after day. You don't notice that the paint is falling off, you know, that one spot. And then somebody brand new comes into your house and they go, hey, you know, hopefully they're a friend of yours. You give them permission to say something like this. Hey, why is the paint falling off your foyer? Oh, I don't know. I didn't even notice that. Right? Well, they noticed it because it was their first time. They had something that you needed to see. And they revealed that to you. So everyone is needed to help see what Buffalo Valley's vision should be. So let me tell you what we're going to do, and then we'll wrap this up. In our summer Sunday school program, so we have Sunday school in between the first and second service. And in the summer program, we are going to break up into groups of 8 to 10 people, and we're going to study particular passages of Scripture together, and we are going to invite you, if you'll participate, to help us to see what our vision should be. You know, you won't be required to talk. Nobody's going to put you up. But we want to hear from you. See, what it would be a lot easier for us to take 8 or 10 of us in leadership, go off somewhere for a weekend, come back and say, here's our new vision. But that's not what we want to do. Because we recognize that the church is just a collection of you all and me all. That doesn't work. It's a collection of you all and me. right? It's a collection of people. We want to hear what God is saying to you individually. And what we are praying, those of us that are already engaged in this process, what we're thinking about is, if we have, let's say, 10 groups of 10 to 12 adults in them, and we study these same passages of Scripture each week, and then we ask to sort of collate, what is God saying here? What is God showing us? Is it possible that out of those groups who are not meeting together, that we will see three or four different things that we need to see? Is it possible that God, who is sovereign and knows all, is it possible that he's going to be communicating three, four, or five specific kinds of things to us as a church body? And how exciting that would be to realize, you know what, this is what God is saying. It's not just a poster, right? It's not just a picture. But we can't do that if you don't help us. So we really want to encourage you, 2 weeks from this week, to begin with our summer Sunday school. We have Sunday school for kids. We have Sunday school for teens. We have a nursery. It's like we want to involve and engage our adults in this process. Now, even if you can't do that, we'll make the Scriptures available to you and still would like you to read and meditate and pray on those Scriptures and provide input. But we really want to see if we can see what God wants for us. Because when we connect, when we really see what God wants us to see, and we join God in doing what God wants to do, poof. That didn't sound very good. It sounded like a magician. Boom. I don't know what the right word is, okay? Wow, or whatever. We will be able to do everything that God wants us to do in those areas that he has reflected for us. So, will you join us in that effort? Will you consider joining us in that effort? Now, as I am going to hit the last slide, maybe you can't see God and you need help with your vision. We want to help you. You know, this whole thing is new for you. Maybe you're not even sure God is real. You're not even sure Jesus was real. Maybe you landed here today. We're so happy you're here, and we want to help you see that. I said last week, you know, just give us 6 months. Just give us 6 months to walk with you through the Word of God and the people of God, and I'm confident that you'll be convinced that he is who he says he was. But maybe you can't see God, and you need help with your vision. Or maybe you'd like to talk to somebody about the vision that God has for us. Or maybe even about the vision God has for you. Because the vision God has for you is related to the vision that God has for what? For us. Okay? We want your help. Jesus is the light of the world. He is illuminating us. He is using the Scripture. He is using other people. He is using circumstances to help us to see what he wants us to see. And it is so vitally important that we get this right. And we want to engage as many people as well. Would you just join me in prayer? Father, I am amazed that you involve us in this process. And I think sometimes, God, that we think we're just not qualified. And as I was thinking about this earlier this morning, I think it would be better for you to just sort of shut down your world for a couple of hours each week, roll out the angels, let them sing, bring Moses or somebody to preach, or maybe Jesus, give us a sermon. The whole entire world is transfixed upon you, and if people don't want to pay attention to you, you could just paralyze them or something to make them watch you. It seems to me like that'd be a better idea. Then we all get what you want us to hear. But you have not chosen to do that. You have chosen instead to use people like those sitting in these maroon chairs. People like me who have many faults, who have made many mistakes, who can't quite figure out the way to say it, who can't quite figure out how to see it. And yet that's how you've chosen to do it. So in this little corner of the world, would you help us to see what you want us to see? Would you please reflect the light of Christ to our eyes as a church and individually to help us to see what we need to see. Would you give us faith to trust you in the process? Would you give us faith not to just say, it's just not important, but instead to join you in the incredible work that you do? Would you be our vision? And Father, those who are here this morning that are just kind of like, I'm not even sure what this is, God, would you assure them that we are here to help them see? We have no agenda. We have no desire other than what you desire for them. And then God, even if we've been here for 50 or 60 years, would you help us to contribute to what it is that we need to see? Would you again be our vision? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.